Fall camping has grown dramatically over the last few years, and it really is one of the best times of the year to camp. This week, we're going to give you some tips or things that you don't want to do fall camping, mistakes that we've made that you want to avoid. This is RV Miles. Chances are you've seen them on the road. That's because Blue Ox designs and manufactures the best towing products in the industry. Just look around. You'll find them on highways and campgrounds and anywhere you find people traveling in the great outdoors. From award-winning tow bars and base plates to a full line of weight distribution hitches, adjustable ball mounts, and now they have fifth wheel hitches too. With Blue Ox, towing doesn't have to be a drag. Visit blueox.com for more information. Harvest Host is a membership that allows RVers to take a rest from the road and enjoy unlimited overnight stays at over 5,000 unique locations in North America, like breweries, farms, attractions, wineries, and much more. Easily plan and book your next RV trip and enjoy over $1,500 in exclusive member benefits by joining Harvest Hosts. Get 15% off your first year of membership with the code MILES. That's M-I-L-E-S. Go to harvesthost.com to become a Harvest Host member today. Welcome to episode number 376 of RV Miles. I'm Jason.
And I'm Abby. And we are two RVers who, along with our three boys, Jack, Ethan, and Henry, have been crisscrossing North America on one epic road trip since 2016. Here at RV Miles, we talk all things RV and outdoors, from industry news, an intro that took at least 10 minutes for us to get right, and so much more.
That was a rough one.
This was a rough one. What you don't see behind the scenes is how often we get tripped up on our words.
Yes.
When we're trying to do that opening. And if you become a Mile Marker member, you're going to get to see that firsthand. Because we are, for whatever wild reason, we have decided that once a month we're going to open up this weird world of podcasting that we do and go live for Mile Marker members to watch us do this. And they would have been able to watch how we're just laughing almost uncontrollably because we just couldn't get words out. Did you say? Do don't? We just couldn't get words out of our mouths, which is probably why it's a good thing it's Labor Day weekend.
So this episode is coming out on Labor Day weekend. This is the last of our August mini episodes. Yeah. So thank you for those of you that don't like these for sticking through them. Thank you for those of you that do.
For coming back next week.
For being here and give us a shot next week when it'll be longer in the Fresh Tank. Black Tank will be back and more.
We've had so many good Fresh Tank, Black Tank things for this month. Yeah. So we're going to be able to bring those back. And this is Labor Day weekend. As we mentioned, this is coming out on Sunday evening, early evening. And if you're watching it on Sunday, early evening, August 31st, then just know that today is our son Jack's 18th birthday. So a happy birthday to future Jack. We're not recording this on Labor Day weekend. We're recording this early, but a happy birthday in the future to Jack, who is now, according to the United States of America, a legal adult. But according to his mom and dad, still that sweet little baby that we know and love.
Yeah, it's a wild, wild thing.
It's the wild, wild west of having an adult in having an 18-year-old in college.
We feel like we're just like learning how to parent still. I don't know.
Well, it's because I say you never, because someone said this to me. I did not create this, but that you never stop being a first-time parent to your firstborn child.
Yeah, everything you do with them is new.
Yeah, which is why the firstborn often is so resentful of the third one, because the third one is just running wild, doing whatever they want, like staying up late all the time. They're getting all the perks years in advance.
Yeah.
To the first one. The first one has to go through and has to kind of suffer through new parenting.
Bedtime routine. Yeah. And
his bedtime routine used to be the sweetest. It was just the sweetest. And he just loved his books. He is, as our editor, is probably dying right now.
Maybe just cutting this all out.
This may not even make it into the podcast for all we know. This could end up on the cutting floor if our editor newly minted legal adult has anything to say about it. But that is not the subject of today's mini podcast.
No, we're going to talk about fall camping. And, you know, I do these sort of, I look at all of these reports that come out all the time, these surveys that places like KOA put out where they survey camping trends. And fall camping since COVID really has dramatically expanded. I think there's a lot of reasons why we're not going to get into, but potentially because it's hard to get a site in the summer. But fall camping is great. It's, you know, the temperatures can be fantastic, but there can be a lot of pitfalls as well. No pun intended. But we should also say at the start here, obviously, we're Midwesterners. Abby's wearing a Midwest weather forecast T-shirt.
Which is accurate right for this time of year.
And, you know, our climate, what we consider fall camping, is a lot different than what somebody who, you know, lives in southern Arizona is going to consider fall camping.
Absolutely.
It's just starting to get cool enough for them to, you know, even consider camping at this
They're
point.
They're getting ready to break out the rigs and get yeah. going. So, and also we should say we're not talking about winter camping or snowbird camping yeah. here. That said, the five things that we have on this list are five things that we ourselves learned the hard way mm-hmm. and didn't just experience in the Midwest. There is still some habits or rules or sort of patterns that campgrounds follow no matter where they are in the country. So we have experienced these in the Southwest. We've experienced these up north. We've experienced some of these in the South. Don't come at me, Northeast. Eventually, I will experience those out there, I'm sure, too. So even if you are not a Midwesterner, I do think that a lot of these you can probably relate to in your own RV life. Or if you're new to RVing, then these are a couple of things you want to look out for as you extend your camping season beyond what is traditionally the Memorial Day to Labor Day sort of chunk of time that really what we all consider is when camping is supposed to be at its peak. But a lot of us know now that that is certainly starting sooner and going much later. So let's dive in.
The first one is don't assume all campgrounds will be open for the fall season.
Yeah. And that is not, speaking of Midwest, but that is not just particular to the Midwest or South or North region. This is
generally anywhere it can freeze.
Yeah, you're going to see this a lot in the Southeast a little bit too.
Yeah.
But anywhere where they're going to start, where they don't want to have to winterize, they're closing down.
So in our area in particular, there are very few campgrounds in the state of Illinois or Iowa that are open past like October 15th, maybe October 30th. A lot of them close down either October 1st, October 15th, or October 30th. And generally it has to do with their water systems aren't able to be winterized. And the ones that are year round usually have water systems that either have heaters built in them or they have the hydrants that drain out and can be shut off.
But again, this doesn't necessarily pertain to the Midwest because sometimes it's not just about the water system. It's about the staffing. So sometimes people get hired on to just be seasonal workers. And then when the season ends with those workers, you don't have anyone to staff that campground. So it has to close.
And also, it's like, I think in the world of public campgrounds, you know, campgrounds run by the states, the cities, the federal government, they're slow to react to trends, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. So more and more people camping in the fall, maybe 5 years ago, they just didn't have enough people coming to be open.
It didn't make sense.
And they haven't made those changes. Maybe legislation is even required to make changes to extend the camping season and open some of the state parks, campgrounds a little bit longer. So don't assume that you're going to be able to sort of travel wherever you want to go. Make sure you check to see if the places that you plan to go to, you're going to be able to camp at in the fall.
If you're going to be able to peep those leaves, you got to just, you know, check with the campground. Also, the flip side to that is don't assume. So this is the second one here. So don't assume that campgrounds are going to be empty now that it's post Labor Day. You know, I think you might find a decrease a little bit during the week, but you are still going to find a lot of people trying to squeeze out as much of that weekend time as they can.
At some of the private campgrounds in particular, Halloween has become a really big thing.
Money
and it's
maker.
Not just Halloween weekend. It might be the weekend before and the weekend after or whatever it might be. They really do have sort of big events around. So sometimes it's really hard to get into some of those private parks.
Yeah. I mean, those hay rides aren't going to, you know, ride themselves, Jason.
And along the same lines as what we were talking about with sort of state and federal parks, a lot of those parks will stop the reservation system at a certain date. So maybe they're not shutting down at a certain date, but they've stopped the reservation system. So now at X date, it's become first come, first served.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means that, oh, there's not enough people coming here for the reservation system to make sense. You can get a site whenever you want to. That's the idea behind it. Like, it's just no longer required to have a reservation system because we're not that busy. But when the government doesn't keep up with the times, sometimes that means that they're just overrun during that time and it's hard to get a site. And people are coming on Monday to get the site that they're going to use over the weekend and just dropping their rig off and leaving
it there. Yeah. So it may not be that quiet sort of, it's, you know, shoulder season experience you're wanting, depending on where you are in the country.
More in a moment. But first, this episode is sponsored by the folks at RV Life. The RV lifestyle is about community, and the RV community is at the heart of RV Life. RV Life recently celebrated the 1 millionth trip planned with RV Life Trip Wizard, their excellent trip planning tool for RVers, featuring all the trusted reviews, pictures, and tips from their RV Life campground site. RV Life also features several blog sites and over 20 additional RVing forums to serve the community. All this experience and community feedback come together to help create a fantastic RV trip planner and mobile navigation tool collectively called RV Life Pro. RV Life has marked a milestone of over 3 billion miles traveled using RV Life Pro with a B, counting both the planned RV trips and ad hoc navigation with the included RV Safe mobile app. Take 25% off RV Life Pro at the link in the description for this episode. Eliminate black tank woes with liquefied RV toilet treatment, the ultimate enzyme-based solution for RVers. Their powerful formula simplifies waste management by breaking down solid waste and toilet paper, erasing foul odors, and ensuring smooth tank dumping. Liquefied removes buildup on sensors for accurate black tank readings. It's biodegradable and safe for all septic systems, contains no formaldehyde, making it safe for pets and children, and is made in the USA. You can find Liquefied at liquefiedrv.com.
Tip number three, this is really going to pertain to mostly private campgrounds, although this is if you find yourself at a state, federal, or county, city, and they've got some of this, it's probably going to pertain to them too. But don't assume that just because they have these listed amenities on their website, that they're going to keep those amenities open. So there is kind of this trend, even in locations where the weather isn't really a factor and they could still have these amenities open. And I'm talking pool or hot tub, or, you know, maybe they've got a mini golf or even a camp store, or if you've got camp hosts on site or there's somebody at the gate, those things can just completely not be there.
Yeah,
you could, when you get there,
you could be
with no warning.
It could be a campground in like Georgia and they might not have the pool open after the end of August.
Yeah. And this is something that we've talked a little bit about. And we understand, like, there's a lot of maintenance that goes into having a pool open or a hot tub. It's not just, oh, it's open for the season. Yay. There's a lot of care and a lot of maintenance that requires that.
And sometimes it's like student lifeguards and stuff like that.
Sure.
That go back to college.
But where I was kind of going the long way around the bend with this one is that I really feel strongly that the price you charge me,
it should reflect it. Absolutely.
Should reflect that you no longer have those amenities. Yeah. I think to tell me that I'm still paying $120 every night or $85 or $90, whatever it is, regardless of season, list all your amenities that you have available. And then I get there and it is a sunny, beautiful 80-degree day, 85-degree day in September. And you look at me and you go, oh, and by the way, our pool's already closed for the season. And this is already closed for the season. And this is already closed for the season. And I think to myself, why did you just charge me all this money and have all of these amenities listed?
Yeah.
And then I get here and I can't do any of those. So if you are going somewhere specifically because they got a swim up bar and you want to swim up to that bar and you want to have that margarita with no salt around the rim, then I suggest if it's in the shoulder seasons, give them a call and make sure that they're going to have a bartender on staff for you. Like, you know, just call. And if the water, a kid's water splash park is important to you, or, you know, the amenity that they're offering is important to you.
A lot of like state and federal parks, it might be that there's just nobody on site. Like their camp store's right. not open. So you can't buy firewood, that they might not have that available. You can just sort of pay for your site online and you're just there. Maybe there's not even camp hosts or anything like that. And you're just there, which can be great. But
yeah, seasonal employees are hired for a season. And that means different things to each campground. So always just check. It's really good to check.
One of those amenities that might not be available is water. So, you know, some of those campgrounds that close when they can't winterize because the first frosts are happening, some of them may stay open. We see this around here in our area. Some of the county parks mm-hmm. will stay open, but they just shut the water off.
Yeah.
And there's not necessarily a date that they do it on. Some in other places, there might be a specific date that they do it on. So obviously, it's really important to know when you arrive at a campground, whether there's going to be water.
Your amenities
to use.
That full hookup, is it going to be something you can do?
Sometimes they'll still keep like a dump station open or something so you can
sometimes they won't.
Fill and dump, and sometimes no.
You know, just when in doubt, ask.
Yeah.
So number four, don't assume that it will be warm in the southern half of the country. We all remember February 2021 and the great Texas freeze, which the Eppersons have not returned since. But this is one that we learned on our first real big, you know, here we are, these Midwesterners, you know, we've done some traveling and we've done some camping in and around our area and we've gone a little to the southeast. But when we got on the road and we did our first big real push in Wanderbus to New Mexico and to the Southwest, here we're thinking it's the Southwest and it's warm and, yeah. you know, and it was shoulder season and the days were lovely and they were sunny and warm and they were everything we wanted, but the evenings dipped to below freezing.
We dealt with a decent amount of snow.
Yes. And so, you know, and this is again, that was just us in our preconceived notion of what we kind of thought we were going to experience in that portion of the, you know, country. And we learned really quick that that, you know, wasn't going to be the case and that we were going to have days where we were running the air conditioner. Well, you know, if we'd had one, but like in the bus, but like it would be air conditioner during the day, heating at night. Because the temperatures just, they vary so much. So you need to kind of just recognize that just because it says words south or west or west.
There's a lot of elevation differences. South, there are only places that are really, truly warm throughout the year are Southern California, Florida, and Southern Arizona.
And even those places, you know, as my sister-in-law has shown us, sometimes they got to break out the winter gear when it gets to like 54.
Yeah.
So, you know, just be prepared to know that.
We would still be in shorts here, but.
Crocs in sport mode. So the final one, number five, is kind of falling in line with what we were just talking about the weather. But that is to be prepared for all sorts of temperatures. So fall camping means that on Tuesday, just as my shirt here says in the Midwest, on Tuesday, it's 85 degrees. And on Wednesday, it's negative 12. You're going to see a lot of temperature swings, a lot of weather swings from rain to that miserable, sleety, freezy rain thing that just makes everything so bleh to snow. And we experienced, you know, again, to give an example of our life, we experienced that when we went to Yellowstone mm-hmm. for the first time. So our first trip to Yellowstone National Park was late August 2020 into 5 years exactly, actually, to this podcast coming out to you watching this Labor Day episode. 5 years ago, we had been in Yellowstone and it was so beautiful. The weather was stunning, stunning, beautiful summer weather. And on Labor Day, on that Monday, after a beautiful weekend, just a rip-roaring snowstorm came in. We had had crazy winds, like where, you know, do we or do we not bring this slide in? Like, yeah. This is kind of broadsiding us. What is, you know, to a snowstorm dumping inches of snow. And so
and then gone the next day
and then gone. Just
so it's clothing, obviously. So it's all the different jackets, all the different shoes, mm-hmm. all the different pants and shorts and long sleeves and short sleeves and sweaters. And you just being prepared layers, obviously layers help so that you can, as the day goes on, shed them or add them. But it also has a lot to do with your rig. So you want to make sure your propane is full, even if you don't really plan on using the furnace, you might be using the furnace. You want to make sure you're prepared to winterize if it gets bad enough that you're going to have to winterize because that's very, very possible that it could get that bad. You're going to want to make sure that you know what to do when it's going to drop just below freezing temperatures. You don't necessarily have to totally winterize in that case, but that you're prepared to sort of fill your water tank, unhook the hose, unless you have a heated hose, empty out your sewer hose, make sure there's no water sitting in that. So that stuff doesn't freeze up. And then you've got a solid ice plug, whatever, that takes forever to melt. That sort of stuff you need to sort of plan for it potentially happening.
Yeah. And another really good example of that is when we hosted the High Desert Hangout back in May. It's not necessarily fall camping, but here we are again. And
spring is not that different from
spring.
Fall.
It's just less leaf peeping and reverse. More leaves
flower peeping
out. And we had, as everyone arrived, we had said, you know, hey, learn from us, play it safe, unhook your water every night, because it wasn't that in this particular area, and we were just outside of Park City, it wasn't necessarily that the temperatures were dipping so below freezing. They were hovering right around freezing, sometimes slightly above. But the moisture level throughout the night and the amount of dew that you would see the next morning on the grass was such that everything was freezing in that climate. And so we were waking up, even with the temperatures only getting down to maybe 34, 35. And I'm talking not hitting until like 5 a.m. That's really when it hits and then it starts to go back up. We came out our first night the next morning and the hose was frozen.
Yeah.
And we are looking at each other and we're like, we checked this last night. Yeah.
We should have learned by now over the years that you can't necessarily trust what the low is going to be either, because the low could be going significantly lower than you think. That happened to us a lot in Breckenridge, where
yes.
it said the low was going to be like 36 and it would end up being 30.
But hey, you know, we're human too. And we're always still, I mean, even after 9 years, we're still learning or still remembering, you know, we're still figuring out there's parts of the country we've yet to even, you know, roll up into an RV or certain times of year in certain parts of the country. And, you know, I think that's good. It's good for us. It's good for us. Yeah, keeps us on our toes and, you know, doesn't make it, you know, what do they say when you assume you make a out of you and me?
You'll learn, you know, when you need to, you know, use which heat. Like we have an electric fireplace mm-hmm. in the rig, and we did in our last Sabre as well. A lot of people carry space heaters or what have you. And, but the problem is if you're not using your propane furnace, it's not heating your underbelly if you have a heated underbelly. So if we heat our underbelly, we've got the propane furnace going, we can get down to the low 20s without winterizing. We're going to unhook the water. We're going to be running off our tank, but we can get down to the low 20s. And below that, we're going to want to winterize.
Yeah.
And you can still camp if you're winterized. You can still even use the toilet. You're just going to want to follow stuff down with some some RV antifreeze.
But we're also just not, for us, our comfort level too, is that we don't particularly like to use space heaters at night when we're sleeping. Yeah. So that's we will use our fireplace because it's on its own breaker, but we will not use space heaters.
Yeah, when they can get knocked over. People can drop stuff on them. It's just, we just want them to be, especially with kids, we want them to be monitored if we're going to be using them.
Too many news stories.
Yeah.
Stories for me to justify using one. So those are our five. We could have probably, you know, kept going with things that we have learned over the years and mistakes that we have made in fall camping. We could have kept going, but we felt like these were kind of the five that are a little bit more universal. But of course, we would love to keep this list growing. So if you want to share with us something that you would have added to this list, like we say every week, just leave it down in the description. If you're watching this on YouTube, come over to the RV Miles Facebook group, share it over there, email it to Jason and I if you only want to tell Jason and I. We love reading your emails. But yeah, this is it. The August minis are over. We're back next week.
Full episode.
Full episode. So gear up, people. Get ready. Jason has so much to talk to you about.
That's it for this week's episode of the RV Miles Podcast.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that as you're listening to this, you are having a wonderful Labor Day weekend, or that you have just come off of a lovely time, a little relaxing time. We hope that you're enjoying the RV season as we roll until the fall. And until then, friends, stay safe. Get out there and peep some leaves. Go on a hayride and keep logging those RV miles.
Bye, everybody.